It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal: to help you score more fantasy points.
Go, Chargers, go. Franchise Focus Podcast here, FantasyPoints.com and the Fantasy Points Podcast. My name is Joe Dolan. We're talking Chargers today with Tom Brawley and Graham Barfield. Unfortunately, our run of podcasts is going to end. Tom and I are going to a wedding. We're both in a wedding. You might have heard at the end of the last podcast. And Scott and Graham Barfield and Scott Barrett are going to handle a few podcasts for next week. But, I mean, I hope you've been enjoying everything that we've been doing at FantasyPoints.com with the Franchise Focus series. I got to admit, guys, I've loved doing the Franchise Focus series because I've learned so much. I've dug up some things about players where, like, man, I really feel like I'm more plugged in now, you know, for doing drafts. And makes me realize that next year we got to start these things in June. Like, yes. Mostly because I'm stressed beyond belief right now.
Yeah.
But next year we need to start them in
middle
June.
Middle of June is the new start date.
Yes.
Going forward.
So we have a little more buffer time before
we always do this to ourselves, where training camp just like sneaks up on all of us, and we're like, oh shit,
we're halfway through this series, and we got training camp.
Here's the deal, guys. I'm going to the Dominican Republic next June, and I'm coming back on the 16th of June, which is a Thursday. Let's plan on starting to release the Franchise Focus that June 20th.
Like it.
Monday.
We'll pencil it in on the
that'll be 2 weeks ahead of time from where we were this year.
That would
year.
Be a world of difference too.
That will make an absolute world of difference. There's not even close, but yeah, all right. So that's what we're pencil it in. We're starting the Franchise Focus 2022 on June 20th. There we go. So mark your calendars, everybody. That's when we'll be talking who's first? Arizona. That's when we'll be talking the Arizona Cardinals next year. Maybe we'll do it backwards next year.
Ooh. Washington, maybe they'll have a name by then.
Nope. Yeah, I hope they just keep it as the football team. That'd be great.
the only reason I don't love that is because of how asymmetrical it is to the rest of the league.
Yeah, it's also it's also one letter away from WTF, which is also great.
In MLS soccer, I just think Portland Timbers sounds so out of place. They're trying to do the European style name, DC United and Philadelphia Union and Orlando City, which in many ways is kind of dumb too, especially Real Salt Lake. That one's pretty dumb, but it's weird when a team's called we're the Earthquakes and we're playing FC Orlando, and it just sounds weird. That's why it's the only reason I'm not in love with Washington football team. It seems like they're not going to keep it though. They're going to have. Could you imagine they build this all up and then they tell their friend, we're the team.
I'm sure they'll screw it up somehow, Daniel Snyder led organization.
That's somehow. There's nothing. There's been no safer bet than Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder wrecking everything for that.
Maybe he's been embarrassed in public enough, but you never know. All right, guys. L.A. Chargers. Speaking of teams that have made a lot of mistakes,
yes,
namely moving to L.A. in the first place. But let's just say they are on the up and up. Tom, season win total is 9. Negative juice to the over, minus 122. Bettors are liking the Chargers this year. AFC West, plus 575. Playoffs, plus 135. So they're actually a slight underdog to make the playoffs. Plus 1,600 to win the AFC, plus 3,300 to win the Super Bowl. And I would think, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, that would make them the second best team in the AFC betting markets, unless there's a serious Aaron Rodgers hedge for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, they're the second betting favorites, but they got the Chiefs there. They're around minus 300. I think we did them earlier this week, and I think they're sitting in that minus 300 range. So they're pretty heavy favorites, and that's why it is still a plus money price on their playoff odds, because they're gonna have to snag one of those you know, wild cards, and you got a pretty stacked AFC North and AFC East. So not a guarantee that they get one of those playoff spots, but they're certainly a team that's gotten a lot of momentum over the offseason. You know, they kind of nailed it in the draft, getting Rashawn Slater and Asante Samuel, and you know, getting Josh Palmer in the third round. And they, you know, really addressed their major weakness on the offensive line, getting Corey Linsley and Matt Filer. And they just a lot of good, solid moves. Nothing too splashy, but that's the kind of offseason they needed to have. And, you know, just the question is, you know, can this defense perform a little bit better? They bring in Brandon Staley, young up-and-coming coach, to take over for Anthony Lynn, who was, you know, basically a disaster the last year or two with his in-game decision making and all the close games that they ended up blowing. And
Tom, just to interrupt, even if they were just bad in close games, Anthony Lynn probably still has a job.
Yeah, the funny thing is they started 1-7, and then of course, in pure Anthony Lynn style, right when it looks like he's, you know, for sure getting fired, they go 4-0 in their one score games to end last season. They ripped off a bunch of one-score victories, but it was not enough to save his job. But yeah, they've been, you know, that was dating back to the Philip Rivers, the end of his tenure there. It was like they were inventing ways to lose games at the end. So
what was the game where they called a run play with no timeouts?
Against Buffalo, yeah.
I was against Buffalo.
Yeah, that was the end of the first half. That was they had a couple. That was two. Because they really screwed it up, I believe, at the end of the game, too. It was
an
epic failure at the end of the first and the second half in that game.
It was, like, one of the funniest end of halves that I've ever seen. Number one was Kirk Cousins kneeling when he meant to spike the ball.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
That was just a total brain fart.
That was a Thursday night game or something.
Yeah, and the Eagles were so bad it didn't even matter. They still lost that game, but I think that was
a Saturday night game because that was like around Christmas. I remember that because I think it was playoffs for them or something.
It might have been Chip's last game with the Eagles, but like, yeah, it was. Oh man, that was hilarious. But Anthony Lynn is no longer here. But Graham. I like Brandon Staley. Everything I've been reading about Brandon Staley, it seems like he's in lockstep with the front office. That's always good to see. Joe Lombardi's the offensive coordinator, and you go back and look at his tenure with Detroit, and it was a disaster. Matthew Stafford absolutely hated him. He thought he was a weapons-grade bell end. And, and now Lombardi has come back and said, I made mistakes. What are we expecting to see from this offense, Graham?
Yeah, I did a deep dive on this for the article version of the Chargers, so definitely go check that out. But yeah, Lombardi, you know, he was with the Saints for, you know, back starting in 2007. He was, you know, like an offensive assistant, and he worked his way up to be Sean Payton's QB's coach, and then he went to the Lions in 2014 and 2015. And yeah, the Lions went in 2014, they went 11-5 under Jim Caldwell, but there was a lot of underlying problems with that offense. I mean, they finished 23rd in points per game, 15th in yards per drive. Stafford made the Pro Bowl, but I mean, he wasn't super efficient. I mean, he just had like a league average touchdown rate, league average interception rate. He just didn't have anything close to one of his better seasons. And then the following year, the Lions open up 1-6. Their offense completely stutters out of the gates in 2015, and they can everybody. So yeah, definitely a pretty rocky year and a half in Detroit for him. Then he goes back. Lombardi goes back to the Saints in 2016, and he's spent every season since as the quarterback's coach under Sean Payton. So yeah, Lombardi has the right last name, and he spent a lot of time with Sean Payton. That being said, I don't even know what the word would be. I'm just very cautious, I guess. I would say that, like, you know, last year Shane Steichen did a phenomenal job with Justin Herbert, and I don't know if Lombardi can kind of bring back that same magic. I think Tom mentioned the offensive line has improved. That's fantastic, but at the same time, Lombardi is a major, major question mark in this offense. Like I said, I wrote up all of his, you know, Lombardi's tendencies in the Focus article, so definitely go check those out. But I just think there's a lot of question marks on what this offense is going to look like.
Yeah, I think
Tom, how are you handling? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we got to be a little bit worried about Herbert too. I mean,
yep.
You know, switching offenses here. You know, he played at an unbelievable level, but is he going to be able to maintain that real high level of play? We saw him; it kind of slipped off a bit towards the end of the season. There was just like, I don't know, like Keenan Allen, he was under 10 yards of reception. You know, Hunter Henry had like, he had a career low, like catch rate. You know, there was just a bunch of like, and Mike Williams was very inefficient on his targets. There was just some underlying stuff that has me, you know, just a little cautious on Herbert. Cause I think the general consensus is that, you know, Justin Herbert's the next, you know, next Dan Marino, basically. He's just going to keep ascending. And, you know, more often than not, I think whenever we see these rookies have this absolutely spectacular rookie season, they tend to take a little bit of a step back. And that would be my main concern here. And it's probably why I'm a little bit underweight on him in terms of, you know, in fantasy drafts this year. You know, he's going at a pretty hefty price in the seventh round. And I just a little bit worried. And the cast is, you know, we lose Hunter Henry there. You know, don't really bring in much of a replacement there. So the cast is slightly weaker here going into the season. So I just have some concerns here with Justin Herbert in the offense.
Yeah, real quick on that note too. It's kind of crazy to see Herbert go ahead of Russell Wilson and like Jalen Hurts. Like Justin Herbert doesn't run. Like, not even close
to him though. And I think that's why people are drafting him. He just didn't.
Yeah, he can. And then it comes into the question of like, will Lombardi let him do it? I mean, Herbert is a fantastic athlete, but in the games that Eckler played last year, Herbert was just dumping the ball off, you know, cause like, that's the thing that these running quarterbacks do. Like Jalen Hurts does it. Lamar Jackson does it. It's like whenever they have a chance in the play, you know, their first, second, third read's not there, or they're facing pressure, they're not really looking to dump the ball off. They run. And, I mean, Justin Herbert did not do that last year. He averaged 3.1 rushing attempts per game. That was the same amount as Tannehill. So, yeah, like Tom was saying, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, like you were saying, there's a lot of underlying issues, I think, that kind of didn't really come to the fray last year for fantasy because the volume was so good for Keenan and Eckler too. But now, yeah, I mean, you're switching OCs. You don't really have a running quarterback, and now Herbert's a bit overpriced.
Yeah. How are you handling Eckler, by the way, Graham? I know we have him projected lower than I think consensus. I struggle with Eckler. I always struggle when we're lower than consensus on somebody who has the ceiling of an Eckler. But what's your read on Eckler?
Yeah, I mean, last year, Eckler averaged more receiving fantasy points per game than Alvin Kamara. And Alvin Kamara led all backs in receiving fantasy points per game. He had basically the same target share as Kamara and Herbert starts too. But the biggest thing is like, are they going to let him score touchdowns? Cause in those final six games after Eckler came back after that, like nasty hamstring injury, Justin Herbert and Kalen Ballage both led the team. They tied for the team lead in goal line carries with five. Eckler only had two, I believe. So I think that's the other big question in this offense is like, hey, is Lombardi going to let Eckler be the goal line back? Are they going to give it to Roundtree? Are they going to give it to Kelly? Is Herbert going to have a couple sneaks? Like, I think that's really the biggest thing holding Eckler's ceiling back is the touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's going to be a little bit of a storyline I'm going to follow in camp because, you know, if he is going to get those goal line opportunities, I think, you know, he has to kind of vault up into the no doubt first round, you know, one of these first round running backs after,
right.
You know, especially after we lose Cam Akers and
right.
It gets thinned out a little bit. And, you know, it's three, you know, he's maxed out at three, you know, rushing touchdowns in a season here to start his career. But, you know, he's had Melvin Gordon in front of him. Anthony Lynn has liked these bigger backs at the goal line. Does that all change, you know, with Lombardi and Staley? Do they want the more smaller, more elusive back at the goal line? And, it's going to be a very important question because, you know, if he does have, you know, 6 to 8 touchdown upside, you know, in terms of rushing touchdowns, he's kind of a top 8 back, no doubt. And, you know, maybe even higher than that if he's going to have that kind of upside, you know, around the goal line.
Yeah. And the one thing I will say is I no coaching staff has yet viewed Eckler as that guy. Now, maybe Lombardi and maybe he does. Maybe Staley and Lombardi do view him as that guy. But the one thing I will say is in terms of who's the number two guy here, well, Justin Jackson's always produced when he's played. The problem is that. He can't stay on the field. It just feels to me, guys, and Graham, you know Josh Kelly, and I don't know if you watched Larry Roundtree. It just felt like this was a new staff coming in. Josh Kelly was terrible last year. They drafted Roundtree to kind of be what maybe they thought Josh Kelly was going to be last year.
Yeah, I remember watching Kelly for yards grid, and this, I mean, he was literally the most like forgettable back I've watched in the last 5 or 6 years. And he turned around and was pretty bad last year. He was like bottom 3 or 4 in like all of the efficiency metrics I look into. And yeah, I think Kelly's gonna lose his job. I think it'll be Roundtree, and you know, they even, you know, he lost his job last year with Kalen Ballage. I think Kelly got a little banged up there, but yeah.
I mean, if you lose your job to Kalen Ballage,
it's gonna be, I think it's gonna be Roundtree as the two, but that's a camp battle we'll have to keep an eye on.
Yeah,
but
I remember Cosell watched Roundtree, calling him like a no nonsense back, you know, like one of those guys you turn the tape on, you know exactly what he is, and you know there's a spot for him. He's just not gonna be a star.
No, absolutely not. And he's not a volume back. He's just he'll be a fine change of pace guy. I mean, he was Mizzou's like bell cow, not bell cow, but like workhorse back. He handled like almost all of their carries last year. He's going to definitely mix in on the goal line and take some of those touchdowns.
Oh my God.
That's kind of qualities is like a Kelly. They're just trying to basically upgrade it. You know, it's basically the impression I got.
Yep.
Larry Roundtree, by the way, if and when he becomes fantasy relevant, maybe Eckler goes down for a couple weeks or something. There will not be a player whose name is misspelled more on Twitter.
Joe, every time I go to type it, I have to like think about it. I got to be like, don't put the D.
There's no D.
Yes. It's not Roundtree. It's Roundtree. There's no D in there. But oh my God, he is going to be called Roundtree on every radio program, every podcast, on Twitter. Oh man, I'm already looking forward to the mentions for poor Larry Roundtree, who has probably had to deal with his name being misspelled his entire life. We didn't spell it wrong in the Franchise Focus article up at fantasypoints.com, though. I just did a little quick run.
Gotta check that.
I'll make sure you're not lying there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It looks like we're pretty good, but call us out if I miss that on my final edit. He's Graham Barfield, at Graham Barfield on Twitter, at Tom Brawley on Twitter, at FG_Dolan on Twitter. That's me. Follow the site on Twitter at FantasyPTS. Make sure you subscribe to the website. This is nut cutting time. This is when you start to separate. This is when the fish are starting to dive into the best ball waters. You want to eat those fish. This is the best time to do it. Everybody,
I'm hungry, Joe. I'm hungry.
I love it, man. Tom, the fish are. I'm driving up to Pennsylvania tomorrow. It's a 10-hour drive. Whenever my wife
get
is driving
on the wheel and get a little best ball drafts on the side.
I'm going to be getting some. Tom, you remember when we were driving to Canton a couple years ago? I think you did like 3 drafts from the passenger seat.
I think I did. Yeah, we just kind of did them together. And I was like, hey, what do you think about this pick here? Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. Tom, I'll see you. Well, we're recording this.
Yeah, we're probably out golfing as you listen to this podcast.
I'll see you. We're recording this on Wednesday, but Tom, I'll see you tomorrow night. Up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Graham,
neck of the woods, baby.
Yeah, you used to live up there. Yeah,
any PA guy for 4 or 5 years, so go back to my old stomping grounds.
There you go.
Graham, we'll see you whenever we see you. You'll be with Scott Barrett early next week recording some of the podcasts. I'll be back at some point. Tom and I will be back at some point on the pods. But for now, thanks for listening to us for 3 weeks. I hope y'all enjoyed, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.